And please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, let's hear the word of God. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgments. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, hence the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. May God bless his word to us as we read it and as we hear it preached. Well, we continue to look at some things from our catechism in question 75, which we looked at last time. We saw what is forbidden in the Eighth Commandment. The Eighth Commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. We have several proof texts there. And I thought I would have a couple of practical examples of this today. We're going to look at a couple of different temptations in the way of the Eighth Commandment. And I'm starting to look at my notes here, and oh no, I just preached that sermon already today, and so we'll go with other notes that I have. The first is gambling, and I picked Proverbs 33, chapter 16, because partly this last verse here. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Back in Old Testament times, there were occasions where there was no direct revelation from God in his word what to do in a different situation. And so there was a way of casting lots. It's kind of like today where we might spin a spinner for how many spaces you move, like in chutes and ladders or something like that. Or you roll a pair of dice to see how far you go on the Monopoly board. Well, but this was for something determining if you're going to take this action or that action. And when it was done by a priest, it would be prayed that God would show the result. And so, for example, when Judas Iscariot had killed himself, having betrayed Jesus, there were two men who were voted on by the tiny little congregation of people that met in the upper room in Jerusalem. And they picked these two men, and from those two, by lot, it was decided after prayer, God indicated by lot that it was supposed to be Matthias who was to be the new apostle. Now this was not luck, nor was it seen to be a random thing. It was seen to be the work of God. And that's why the writer of the Proverbs, whether this is something directly from Solomon or somebody else, was moved by God to say, the lot is cast into the lap, like throwing dice. But it's every decision is from the Lord, not from luck, not from randomness. And that's actually true with everything. There is ultimately no random thing. Okay? Nothing happens randomly, causelessly, accidentally, ultimately. When we do gambling, and this is in the news because the Supreme Court just got rid of all laws about sports gambling. So now you can get the line on this game or that event or whatever and place your bets on it. It used to be that this was confined to Las Vegas, pretty much. And when I was there, 2.5 years ago, to be preaching to our mission there in Las Vegas, I was in one casino just looking around, and the places, they're really interesting to look around. I'm thankful to say God allowed me not to spend a penny on that, on any gambling. But in any case, there was this great big board in this one casino with all the sports bets and all the lines and all the spreads that you could do there. This is now legal all over the country. But gambling, though it be legal, is immoral, and it is a breaking of the commandments. Now we're going to look in just a moment at how it breaks the eighth commandment, but I want you to see that it also breaks the first and second commandments. Of course, as we've said before, anytime you break any of the commandments, you break the other nine. But it's very obvious that this breaks the first and second as well. The first having told us that we may not have any other God along with the living and true God. And the second, we saw that it commands that we worship Him and Him alone and in the way that He has told us to worship Him, not deviating by adding to or taking away from the worship He commands. So how is gambling breaking the first and second commandment? First of all, it inserts into our life and into our decisions a false god. What is that false god? It is chance or luck. That is what people attribute their losses. That is what people attribute their gains to. To luck or to chance. Some of you older people have maybe heard the Frank Sinatra song, Luck Be a Lady Tonight, all right? And we talk about lady luck, and we have even Lucky Charms cereal, all right? Well, that's just a silly leprechaun and some icky, in my mind, marshmallows and oat cereal and some sugar. But people really think that there are lucky things. And there are things that bring them, that chance is a good thing. This denies the true God, and it denies His providential care and ordering of all things that we see not only in this text, but we have seen in the Gospel of Matthew as well, where Matthew has recorded our Lord Jesus saying, don't worry about food, because God provides for the birds of the air. Don't worry about clothing. God provides for the lilies of the field. Don't worry. The very hairs of your head are numbered, and aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? But your Father takes care of them, and you're worth a lot more than sparrows. All these things point to our Father's providential care. Or maybe I should say now, our Lord Jesus' providential care. For as we see in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 20, going to the end of the chapter, all of providence is put into the mediatorial king's hands. Everything is in the hands of Jesus. Everything that happens to the godly, everything that happens to the wicked, everything that happens to the wicked happens to them for the sake of the church. Secondly, gambling involves greed. That is the only thing, the only reason that gambling is there. It makes nothing, it produces nothing. Gambling is motivated by greed. And you maybe know that the Apostle Paul says that greed is idolatry. It is a worshiping, it is a depending upon things, upon wealth, upon possessions. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read in verses 9 and 10, that we are told to be working for a living, and we've seen this already when we look positively at the eighth commandment. Let me back up to verse 8. We didn't eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That is where we're supposed to be. That is God's commandment. That is keeping the eighth commandment, because God says so. Any way of going apart from that, any way of trying to get it by luck or chance, is denying what we read there and is denying the word of the only living and true God. Now, it overtly breaks the eighth commandment using that 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 8 through 10, little selection there is a good transition into the eighth commandment. Gambling involves trying to, and sometimes actually getting, something for nothing. There are only a couple of legitimate ways to obtain and gain property. That is by working and buying with money that you have earned, or by barter. And that's legit under the fourth commandment. We are to be working in the 6 days that God gives us in the week to do so. And there is another way to get wealth, to get property, and that is by inheritance or by gift. If we were to go a couple or three chapters ahead in Proverbs 19, verse 14, we would see this: houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. You can't inherit a prudent, thoughtful, wise, godly wife, but that is a gift from God. All right? Getting a gift is a good thing, whether it be from God or from someone else. Getting an inheritance is a good thing. These things are legitimate, but gambling is not so. It is trying to get something for nothing. It also involves trying to get rich quick, and that is something condemned in Scripture. It is not wrong, it is not ungodly to get rich. We've seen that already when we looked at the things that are commanded by or required by the eighth commandment. But in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21, we see an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. We could go to Proverbs chapter 28 to verse 20 there and see a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Or we could go backwards to chapter 13 of Proverbs in verse 11 there and read, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Thirdly, it is a breaking of the eighth commandment because it involves taking from others illegitimately, improperly. We can take from others when they put it in our hand as a gift. We can take from others when it is an inheritance. We can take from others when we give to them in exchange something that they value for what we value. We often use money for this, but there can be other things. It might be that you might want to trade me your new car for my new motorcycle or something of the sort. Not that I own a motorcycle. Not that there's anything wrong with owning a motorcycle. But you see how that works. You might have a new little, I don't know what, a pathetic little, well, back in the days, a Yugo. And you might want to trade it to me for my wonderful brand new Moto Guzzi, to think of a really prestigious bike, right? I would think you're nuts, but still, you know, you might want to trade. And if I would like, for some reason, to have a Yugo, I would gain by it, and you would gain by it too. That's the blessing of the way a godly economic works. But gambling isn't that way at all. We try to get from others illegitimately. Now, it might be, well, we would say, or others who apologize for gambling might say, well, others get into this willingly, right? No one is forced to play this slot machine. By the way, if you ever go to visit Las Vegas, or if you've ever been there, these things are all over the place. There seem to be more of them than people, almost. You will see plenty of the big casinos on the strip that they're just chock full of these winking, blinking, and bleeping slot machines that are all trying to get your attention. And people all over the place, but you know, there are a few playing the slots, but it's overdone, and you can't get away from them. They're not just in the casinos. For the only time in my life, I've been to a White Castle that had slot machines in it. And they're in the drugstores, and they're in the restaurants, and they're at the airport. You can't fly in or fly out without this and other gambling things. People aren't forced to go to them, so it's okay, people will say. It is okay to go to the poker table. It is okay to go to the roulette game. It is okay to play baccarat, and whatever, because we're all voluntarily there. And no one here in Ohio is forcing you to go to any of the big casinos that we now are blessed with. And I say blessed with dripping sarcasm. No one forces you to play the lottery. And after all, it's for the schools, or in Pennsylvania, it's for the old people or whatever. Yeah, they try to make it look like it's all harmless. But everyone's doing so because they want to get it. And they want to get quick, and they want to get big. Everyone is in there still preying upon, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, not P-R-A-Y-N. They are being predators on others' greed. Sometimes, it's not altogether voluntary. People will gamble, and they don't even realize it. And I know some of you won't agree with me on this. But anytime there are drawings, anytime there are no purchase necessary things, that sort of thing, these two go against the eighth and the first and second commandment, it appears to me. Well, but nobody loses. Yes, yes, they help make higher prices. They help make higher taxes for the rest of us. These things are wrong, and they all appeal to luck. They all appeal to chance. I don't care if a Christian organization is having a drawing. I don't care if a Christian college is having a drawing. I don't care if there are door prizes from a church or a Christian organization. It is wrong, and you should abstain from taking part in such. Gambling in all its forms goes against the eighth commandment. A second thing that is often not thought of is this. It's government dependence. Now, not all things from the government are evil to take. There are certain things that God in His Word has said civil governments, human governments, are to take care of. They are supposed to take care of justice. They're to take care of protecting us from predators on the inside and predators on the outside. And so it is that if you have had injustice done to you, the government is to seek to get you back what you are owed, and more. So, for example, we read in the law of God that if someone has stolen a sheep from you, the government has a responsibility to try to find who the thief is. And if they find him with the sheep, he's got to give back the sheep and four more. If he steals a cow or a steer or a bull from you, he's got to get that back and five more, right? With all kinds of other things, he's got to give you back what he took from you plus 20% more. He's got to give you one-fifth interest on different things. The government legitimately can do that. The government is to provide for some sorts of common good that we see in Scripture. And the government is supposed to help provide for the church. Other than that, though, the government's not supposed to be doing things according to Scripture. And this is the case, in fact, with our own constitutional law. According to the 10th Commandment, they're all caught. 10th Commandment, listen to me. According to the 10th Amendment, there are very few things which our federal government is allowed to do. Only the states or the people are to take care of these things. And there are vast areas that our federal government has taken on against its own laws, sadly. Demanding that the government take from others to give to you is kind of hiring a thief, which we saw last week was a bad thing. And participating in programs when you're not forced to is kind of participating in this. Now, it may be that there are certain things you have to participate in, so it's not sin on your part. So, for example, many of you who are working have to pay Social Security, or you have to pay what they call self-employment tax. You have to pay it. No sin on your part. And it's no sin on your part to get that money back. That was your money. It could have been gaining interest all this time. And so to get it back and even more is not wrong. There is fault there. Fault on the civil government's part, but not on your part. You are not guilty of sin in this case, in the commandment. But where you don't have to participate, let me urge you not to think about it and not participate. Electing officials who promise money redistribution is wicked. That's putting thieves in power. How often have we heard this from different politicians? If you elect me, I'll soak the rich. If you elect me, I will do this or that or the other. I will take from the rich and give to the poor. I'm sorry, that works well in Robin Hood stories, but it is not according to the Eighth Commandment. Once again, government at any level is to police within and defend on the outside. They're given a sword, not a collecting bag. They are to encourage, or we are to, let me back up. To encourage the government to do more than that eventually leads to inflation. And this is something else that's spoken of in Proverbs 16 here. There was a long section in there from verse 10 all the way through verse 15 on godly kings, godly governments, how they're supposed to work. And we read there in verse 11, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. When we have inflation going on, that doesn't mean a rise in prices. A rise in prices is a symptom of inflation. What inflation is kind of like taking a balloon, and you keep blowing it up, blowing it up, blowing it up. It gets bigger and bigger, and the amount of air in there gets to be more and more, and the rubber gets thinner and thinner. Right? Well, so our money, as they make money to try to cover all the things they have to spend money on that they really shouldn't be doing anyway, all this money keeps expanding and expanding, and eventually someday it goes, and that's it. Weights and measures, which our money is supposed to be, are supposed to stay level and on the same level, I guess is the word. These things are wrong. These things are not right at all. And they lead eventually to tyrannical and idolatrous and blasphemous taxes. So these are a couple of temptations. They lead to terrible messes. They lead to ruinous lives. We're to avoid them because they go against the Eighth Commandment. Now, some of us may have not seen these things before. Some of the things that are imposed upon us, we're stuck with. So seek to change what you can. Don't demand others' money by gambling or by participating in programs where you don't have to, from the state or the federal level or anything like that. Do pay the taxes because God commands it so, and see them as discipline from God. And families, you know, here's where we're supposed to be taking care of one another. Take care of people within your family. And let's be looking to take care of each other within the Church of Jesus Christ. Seek those in need. Seek to help them, especially in our own congregation. This is how we kind of deal with the Eighth Commandment, getting away from these two particular temptations. And by the way, there are many other ways to break the Eighth Commandment. But let's see these two as ones that are current, ones that are practical. Let's steer away from them. Let's seek to be gaining wealth for ourselves and others by all legitimate means. And let us see that all that we have and all that we are is to be used for the glory of God. Amen.